Hi, and welcome to the study of God's Word from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California.
Pastor Rivers, come on. Robert, would you put up "Oh, How I Love Jesus," please? Dropped your iPad?
My daughter gave it. Had to go back to old school.
You did?
Yeah. Actually, old school's paper.
Excuse us, we're going to have a conversation.
It's so good to see you, man.
It's good to see you, too.
I've just been such a blessed to be here today.
It's good to have you, man.
Come on, let's do this.
Oh, how I love Jesus, Teresa, if you would, please. I don't know. He's throwing spontaneous things my way.
Come on, everybody smile. It takes 13 muscles to smile and 33 to frown. Some of you guys are overworking your face right now.
Well, I've said before, show those pearly whites, and if you feel so led, take them out and pass them around the room.
Come on, give the Lord some praise. Come on, give him some praise.
There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing His word. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. And oh, how I love Jesus.
Yeah, slow it down a little bit.
Slow it down a little bit. That was too fast for you?
Too fast.
Wow. It tells me of a Savior's love.
Church, we got one of them things we still hold in our hand.
Yeah, I know.
You know.
I know. But it looks good on you.
It looks good.
Yeah, it does.
Praise God.
It's really good on
you. Praise God. I'm good. See, I had to have somebody help me. How many people know we need a little help in this thing? Amen? No man is an island, neither is no woman. First of all, happy Father's Day to the fathers.
Thank you.
Amen. P-A-S-T-E-R? Okay. I'm a proofreader, y'all. I'm a proofreader. Blessings to you today in honor of our God, our Lord, and our Savior Jesus Christ, in the absence of your pastor. I let me tell you something. I've been nervous as a cat in a room full of rocking chairs. Y'all get that, right? You know. I'm honored, first of all, from Pastor Gary. You know, when you get those phone calls in the middle of the night or in the middle of the day and they say, "You're up." I'm Pastor Bruce Rivers. I'm the pastor of the Greater Exodus Baptist Church in Los Banos, California. We are a new church plant that your church and all the other churches in our association helps us. Amen?
Amen.
We're about 2 years old. Yeah, you can clap. Amen. It's good. It's good. And at 1 o'clock, our service starts. Amen? And so I ain't gonna be up here long, amen. I like this, amen. I like this thing. I'm a moving around kind of guy. Let me share with you quickly. Our church is 2 years old, and I've planted two churches, one in Watsonville called New Birth, which was then passed on to another young man, the Southern Baptist Convention. I am in some cases they call me, somebody told me I was a Baptacoscal. I grew up in the Baptist church, but I spent a little time over in the Pentecostal church, amen. I'm an original member of the Oh Happy Day Choir. In 1968, I was 13 years old, amen? And that choir was the Northern California State Youth Choir of the Church of God in Christ, amen? Y'all know who them are. Pastor Gilbert Patterson, one of the presidents, now Bishop Blake down in L.A. 13, I used to sing. We didn't have a youth choir at our church in Bethlehem Seaside, so you hung out with other friends. They had a youth choir called the Trumpeteers. And we sang all over the country, amen, back in the 60s and 70s, amen. We had a little raggedy bus, and we used to drive around all over the place, and that choir was a compilation of Northern California State youth of the Church of God in Christ. So I got to go and sing, and then y'all remember 45s? Who remember 45? 45 came out, amen, and then they re-released it, the album, as the Edwin Hawkins Singers. Y'all know who Edwin Hawkins is, right? Amen. So it became a hit. I got both album covers with our picture on it. It says Northern California State Youth Choir and Edwin Hawkins, amen. So I got the album covers. They're going to be worth something one day, amen. hallelujah. So I've been singing all my life. I produced concerts. I was on the road with Natalie Cole through the good times and the bad times. I'm one of the producers of the Unforgettable album, amen? We won 7 Grammys, amen? And I was the sound engineer on that project and a world tour. And of course, then the world tour turned into a drug tour. Somebody say amen. My life changed. I'm an only child. I found out in 2007 I was adopted, amen? So let me say this. Oh, this is my real disclaimer. I am an African-American Republican pro-life preacher. I don't always get that reaction at home, amen? I'm a post-aborted father. I have no biological heirs because of Planned Parenthood. But I've been blessed. I've had 2 women in my life, one that passed away. She had 3 children, and her 3 children gave me 10 grandchildren who call me Papa Bear. And my lovely wife is not with me today because they are planning for our Father's Day brunch. Amen. Oh, you love what I love to eat, amen? And so my wife, Emily, of 12 years, amen, my first marriage, had 3 children, and between those 2 ladies in my life, I have 24 children from the 24 to 4 that call me Papa Bear. So I'm a granddaddy, amen, I'm a daddy, amen. Her youngest daughter told me, and after her father passed, she said, I thought I'd never, hallelujah, have another man in my life that I would honor and be able to call my dad. Her name is Vanessa. I'm a crybaby too, y'all, so don't trip. I'm a pro-life speaker. I spoke at the March for Life this year in San Francisco and Oakland. I work with Dr. Alveda King and many of the pro-life groups, and I'm a second-tier pro-life speaker. I have a great story that God gave me. His story is my story. Without the blood of Jesus, we don't got no story at all, amen? So those of you, enough about me and who I am. I want you to open your Bibles to that scripture up there. Amen. I'm going to do the same thing. Amen. And while you're opening your Bibles, you heard preachers say they love to hear pages turning, but we don't love to hear them turn too long. Amen. That's why we have Bible study. Amen. And Sunday school. Amen. And all those places. You will not get it all from up here, but I'm going to give you what he gave me to give you today, amen? Of course, you see, this is a very familiar story. I know we all know. I know we all know it, and I'm going to read it. I'm going to read it in its entirety, amen? When you get there, say word. Because this is the Word of God, amen? This ain't Cosmopolitan. This is not Empire, Esquire, and them other magazines, or Time magazine, or Jet, or Enterprise, or whatever your persuasion is. This is the Word of God, amen? Everybody there? Amen. See that? There you go. If you're not there, say, hold it, preacher. Hallelujah. And he said, a certain man had two sons. He said, being Jesus, amen. And the youngest of the sons said to his father, Father, give me my portion of the goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. How many people have been to a far country without understanding how you leave your parents? And there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to the citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I've sinned against thee and heaven, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, and bring a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and killed it, and let us eat and be merry, for this is my son who was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Uh-oh. Now the eldest son, who was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard the music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked, what's going on up in there? That's what he said, basically. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and would not go in. Therefore came out his father and entreated him. And he answered, said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gave me a party. That's what it was. Ain't nobody scared of a party, is he? Okay, good. Okay, that's what he said. He gave me a kid and that I might be merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son who has come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. May the Lord have blessed the reading, hearing, and doing of his holy word today. Everybody clap your hands for the word. Amen. If you need a topic, it's Happy Father's Day. Amen. Real simple. Amen. Let's do this. Happy Father. Which fathers in the room today have brought something which you received for Father's Day? Something you're wearing. You got a new tie, you got a new Bible, anybody brought anything? There you go. What'd you bring, man?
Tie.
New tie, hallelujah. Anybody else in here? Come on, talk to me. New watch, look at there, man. They still make watches? I thought everybody had one of these blue things, one of these things here, everybody. Amen. Anybody else, what you got over there? Hey, mama, I'm gonna need that lapel thing, man. Give me a handheld. Oh, yeah, now I'm in my element. My mother told me I was born with a phone in one hand and a mic in the other, amen? Okay, here we go. Now you can't see my lips move, so you won't know it's me. It's really Brother Michael. Let me do this before I go any further. Let me introduce you to Brother Michael Murillo. Michael, stand up so that people can see you. There's Michael. Michael is a young man that called one day and said, somebody told him who I was, and he said, I need Jesus in my life. And I went to where he was staying in a hotel, and we just embraced, and he said, I'm able to breathe again. He said, thank you, Pastor. We're baptizing him next Sunday. And we're doing it over at the D-Dam. We don't have a pool because we rent from another church, so we're going to take me to the water. Yes, thank you, Michael. God bless you. For Michael rides with me everywhere I go now when my wife can. My wife is in school at Grand Canyon University, and she studies all night long. She's getting her bachelor's in Christian studies and counseling. And so she's up writing papers and then cooking food and doing all that other stuff that wives do. And so at this morning, she went to bed at 5. I got up at 7 and I said, baby, be still. She said, but I love to be with you when you preach. I said, I'm so grateful, but somebody there will love me too. Amen. For many of you, Father's Day may not be easy. Some of you might have even had bad relationship with your fathers. Maybe a few of you may have not known your dad, even though you lived in the house with him. I lived in a house with a great man, Johnny Rivers, who adopted me, but I didn't find out until I was 51 years old. I was adopted. Adopted my mother, and my mother were second cousins. So my dad, then I really realized how much he loved me after the hell, can I say hell in here? After the hell I put them through with my drug addiction. Because I realized he could have put me out of his house at any time, but he let me stay. He sent me to college. I have 2 degrees in accounting and early childhood education. I was a school teacher, but how many people know when you do the wrong things and they put you in that place with the doors that slam shut, you lose all that. Oh yeah, I'm an ex-choir member, I played in the NFL about 18 days at the Raider camp. I got cut. I traveled the world with Natalie and drugs took over. I got cut, went to prison, and got set free. Y'all can clap right there. My life has been wonderful. God gave me 2 ladies in my life, one passed, and my wife. They were born on the same day in the same year. I don't know how he did that, but amen. That was a blast. As I told you, I've got 24 wonderful children and 6 children. One child, a stepson, was gunned down in front of my home in 1993 over in Seaside, Monterey, California, where I grew up. That was a tragic day. Wasn't much of a father then. Where's the lady that was singing? She said about being a daddy. Amen? The daddy, being a daddy, being a father, amen? Not just somebody that does something just to create something and walk away, amen? Too much of that going on in all of our communities, amen? It's not easy being a dad. For some of you, this is a great day. With warm memories, and there's statistically an average group that 2 of 3 men out of 100, when teenagers, spent more quality time with their dads than with their mothers. We are a generation of underfathered sons. Anybody in here? And for those who have had abusive or violent fathers, God as a father is a problematical concept. Amen? And so when I was in D.C., a Presbyterian pastor told me that they had to change the words to the Lord's Prayer. Most of the fathers were cruel and absent in this congregation of men, and the person who reminded them most of a loving God was their grandmothers. So the prayer said, Our Father which art in heaven, who is like a loving grandmother. Being a dad isn't easy these days, church. Being a mom isn't easy either, for that fact, but being a kid isn't easy, amen? Or a teenager, or married, or single, or middle-aged, or a senior. Life is difficult. Anybody in here? We have had total of 6 children, all are who are adults now, and they were great kids, and I rarely had time to tell any of them twice to do anything. Well, a couple of them that just really wanted to do what they wanted to do, then it cost them. But 2 of my younger children, my wife's children, are both in the faith, in the Lord. I still got 2 sons, and you remember this name, Sharon and JJ. They're still trying to run. But thank God there's a hook. And God's got that drag line. There might nobody fishing up in here, amen? I'm so glad God had a drag line on me. I don't know what to do, amen? And I ran until I just couldn't run no more. And he finally got me in a place where I could read his word for myself. Amen? I read the Bible in 90 days on a 90-day observation at Tracy. I read because it was raining and we couldn't go outside. So I read his word from Genesis to Revelation. And he opened my head and he poured it in me and he blessed me. And I've got this great recall for the word, amen? And then he said, now you're going to go preach. I said, oh, no. Are gods necessary? Some in our government don't think so. But here's the facts. There's a wall full of books with researchers and men's movements and all these kind of things that talk about absent fathers, lost sons and daughters, where fathers are emotionally disengaged with their kids and their children, and their children feel a deep emptiness within, and where dads are cruel or abusive, the damage in the victim's life is awful. One of the ministries we are building in our church, we call it Impact. Our men have a whole life review and a makeover. We try to make men over because that makeover will include training on how we will help impact our community with Christian integrity, Christian masculinity, Christian purpose, Christian accountability, Christian community, and Christian teaching. See, we are Christians first and foremost. We've got a priority. We're in the world, but we got to stop looking like the world. Is anybody in here? I remember a model, I was in a Christian retreat, and a model came, and she was a beautiful girl, and she was well off financially, athletic, and had healthy kids, and everything you would think that would be needed for a satisfying life, but she was unhappy. And the moderator said, why are you here? And she said, I need to rent a daddy. She replied through her tears, another woman, the pastor's wife, felt her dad really didn't love her. Following the retreat, we decided to get together with them and listen to them and deal with sensitivity to their story. And while she sat in another room, and then they brought us all together and chaired a discussion, and between the two of them, it was frank, it was loving, and it was very special. And suddenly, all of us got up. And we just put our arms around this grown-up woman. And at that point, we left the room, and she grew. Let's go to our story. We all know the story of the prodigal son. Or is, maybe we should call it, the real hero is the daddy. Probably it should be called the parable of the waiting father. The parable of the 2 sons is the greatest story ever told after the crucifixion in the Bible to me. We tell it over and over and over and over again. And every person on this planet, every person in this room will have to come to terms with 4 relationships in your life: yourself, your things, your others, and your God. And this story is about all 4 of those things. Amen. A kid comes to his daddy and says, in effect, I wish you were dead. Oh, did y'all miss that? That's what he said. This was the day of your funeral, Daddy, so give me my 1/3 of your property that's coming my way anyway. Sell a piece of the promised land that you've inherited from your forefathers. I want it. I want it, and I want it now. I can't find happiness relating to the people here at home. I can't find happiness with my brother. I can't find happiness with you. Only money will make me happy. Because I'm happy. Now, that father sold the land, which he wasn't supposed to do. Here's the reason. In that part of the world, you could be ostracized. You could even be stoned to death for selling and doing that. Amen? I don't think that maybe what you think about the father's decision, was it wise? I had to face a similarly agonizing decision with my 17-year-old stepson. I told you already, he wanted to move out. He woke up one day and he had not washed the dishes the night before. And that was his one job, amen? I did everything else. I was a stepdaddy, so I tried to keep everybody happy. So his mother got up that morning and saw that he had not washed the dishes, and she went in the room in a typical, let me say it like this, a typical African-American mother mode, snatched him out of the bed, drug him down the hallway, and put him in front of the sink and said, "What's the problem?" Well, he proceeded to swell up on her. And I was in the living room, so I said, "Well, I better get up now, because he's getting ready to get beat down." And before I could really move, she had him by the throat. And she had him bent over the sofa in the living room. He was like, this very few times he called me Dad. "Dad, you better get her. You look like you need help." And he packed his bags and he moved out. 2 years later, he was dead. Because he went out into the world. He didn't make it back. 20 years ago and 6 months ago, he was gunned down in front of our home. 20 years later, I still agonize. At that time, I didn't even know what I had done to myself. My two children, my former girlfriend, went to Planned Parenthood twice. I didn't know that I wouldn't have any heirs. Anyway, this father, I decided to, he learned a painful lesson. We learned a painful lesson. So my next part of my life, I really poured into the children that God had given me, and I continue to pour into those grandchildren, amen, that God has given me. I share with them the gospel. I don't cut nothing out. My granddaughter, who just went to Disneyland, graduated, she told me last year when her daughter sent her to live with us in Los Banos, she said, "I don't like it in here." I said, "Yeah, I know it's a little slow, but you'll get used to it." And then I made one of those critical things. I know some people don't, at Hapire, I said, "You know, if I catch you in the wrong place, I'm going to whoop you." She said, "I'll call the police." I said, "Well, when they get here, they'll have a reason." Look, I got whoopings, okay? I'm still standing. You know, my daddy and mama didn't leave no marks on me because they knew how to hit me where it didn't show. Amen. Oh, I'm sorry, y'all, don't forget though. Sweat. Wait, cut that out. Amen. Listen, this boy learned some hard lessons in that far country. Anybody had to go to a far country? Anybody went away? I tell people all the time, if you go and die in a far country, they might not be able to find you. You might die over here, and then you will be lost to your daddy, to your mama. So learn to understand. He learned some lessons. When you got money, don't trust all the people that call you friend. Did I write that? Amen. Jewish law prohibited contact with pigs. Do y'all realize the magnitude of his life? He was with pigs, let alone being a keeper of the pigs. The husk that fell from eating from the fruit of the carob tree, they use that for animal feed, amen? Now, it's got an awful taste. But sometimes it's eaten by the very poor, amen? Sometimes, like the stories you hear of destitute people in our country. Anybody seen anybody by the trash cans? They got a homeless problem in the city? We do. Carob is now an alternative to chocolate, isn't it? Okay, good. I think I tasted it once. Yours, I said once, amen. But in the pig pen, the young man came to himself. In the term of the Greek, it means he emerged from a coma. He put his speech together. He offered to become a hired servant to his dad. And all over the developing world today, we see young people along the sides of the road waiting for someone to hire them. Y'all got a Home Depot around here? And all in here, you go by Home Depot, go by Lowe's, and you see people waiting to be hired, amen, waiting for somebody to give them some work. In Jesus' day, they earned a denarii for a day's work, just enough to feed a small family for one day. But the father was out there looking for him. That's what I like about the story. The story goes on to tell us that in an ancient Middle Eastern community, the houses are in the center and the marketplace and other buildings around them. And then there's a wall and then the open fields. Amen. So every day the father would go out into the fields and look for his son. I like that. Amen. Ain't you glad somebody was looking for you? Maybe to escort him past the jury, because everybody knew he had left. Maybe they had to have somebody bring him past the pit. Look at that here. Look at that boy. Look at you. Nasty. You don't care. You messed up your daddy's. You know the people that do that, you know. If you've fallen and you know that somebody, they glad you fell. Anybody in here? You know there's people that don't care nothing about you. They glad you fell. They ain't like your daddy. They ain't like your mama. They don't like you. And they're glad you fell down, amen? And so maybe daddy had to go out just bring him past those people, amen? And the day he saw him, don't you love the story? The day he saw him, he ran to him. Old men in that culture didn't run. It was beneath their dignity. It's beneath our dignity now to see an old man running. Old men don't run like young men, do they? We had a Father's Day thing in the park yesterday, and I saw an old guy with he had a 1957 Chevy, beautiful car, and some kids were leaning on. He you know, he didn't have that graceful run. You know, he was. I told you I like to laugh, man. Laughter makes heart merry like medicine. Listen to me. The boy got his speech ready, but the father wasn't listening. Before the boy could say anything, the father threw his arms around him. Ain't you glad? Ain't you glad we got a father to throw his arm? No matter how you look, no matter how you smell, no matter where you look. Listen, when my addiction, and I'd be gone, I'd come home, hadn't been bathed for a few days. I'm getting graphic, y'all. Hope y'all don't scare nobody. But you need to know this. If you haven't experienced, you need to hear about it so you'll understand what a parent goes through. My mother would meet me at the door. My dad changed the locks. He did do that. Oh, he did. So I had to knock on the door. And my mother would meet me at the door, and she would bring me in, and she would hug me, and she would run a bath for me. And while I was in the bathtub, she would cook for me. She cooked me some scrambled eggs with cheese. That was my favorite thing, or macaroni and cheese with some chicken wings on the side. And no matter what time I came, she'd get up and do that for me. Don't you glad that fathers run? And she didn't want to hear nothing I had to say. She was just glad I was home. Father wasn't interested in what his son had to say. He wasn't interested in why he came back. He was just glad he came back. One of the key teachings of our Savior was that acceptance precedes repentance. Acceptance in this case came before confession. As an old saying says, those who are seeking God have already been found by him. One of the most beautiful aspects of the Christian gospel is that God loves you before you change. Or whether or not you change. He died for everybody here. He knew you'd be filthy. He knew you'd be who you are. Do you believe that today, church? By the way, I'm glad the boy met the father before he met the older brother. Daddy called for the ring. The ring signified family ship, ownership. He could write checks again. Amen? Anybody in here? How many people would turn their checkbook over to their child after he just came home? Glory to God. He put a robe on him, amen. The robe means, I don't care what you look like, I put my robe on you. That's what Jesus, oh God, hallelujah. He put the robe on him to cover him. Because none of us are clean enough. I don't care what you've done. I don't care, the blood has cleaned you, but the robe covers you. Then he put shoes on his feet. You know, slaves didn't wear shoes. Only family members wore shoes. Ain't you glad you're in the family? And then he killed a fatted calf. Hallelujah. At the beginning of the chapter, in the beginning of the parable, Jesus was hanging around the riffraff, you know. That's where Jesus went. Do any of y'all go around the riffraff? Or are you too cool? He hung around with the winos and the druggies and the prostitutes and all them folks and the self-righteous Pharisees, the self-righteous church folk, religious people. They didn't like that. Look, I got to preach it real, y'all, okay? Okay, good. There are two groups of people in the world. Those who are sinners and those who know it. Those who are sinners and don't know it. Jesus told a story about a certain man who had two sons. Actually, they were both lost. The main difference is that the younger son internalized his alienation and figured geographically he would fix his identity crisis. The elder son was also alienated. But he internalized his rage, amen, and stayed at home and would have been that'd have been a miserable dude to live with. You understand what I'm saying? Whenever his father gave him a hug, he would stiffen up and be unresponsive. And we learn about the kid brother's sins only from the elder brother. The elder brother describes him as your son, not my brother. Church folk. These two brothers are like us. Sometimes we blame others, like the older brother, but then sometimes we take responsibility for our actions as the younger brother did. These are the two basic attitudes to life, blaming and repenting. Is anybody in here? When dads blame, they might say, oh, the kids these days. I say it myself, amen. Blaming is the opposite of repentance. When you blame, you offload responsibility onto others or the situation or the kids or their friends or their teachers or the school or the TV or the church or the government. Now, our society is on a downward spiral morally, amen? Anything you can imagine is on the internet. For example, I'm re-reviewing a so-called Christian website at the moment that says sex with anyone, anytime, with multiple partners is okay. So long as you're not abusing anyone and they're all consenting. What? Yeah, there are big pressures on our children, church, to wander from straight and narrow. But God has told daddies, you are nevertheless invited to accept responsibility for the outcomes of your fathering. Daddies. Now, I know it's not kosher to criticize the father in our story, but I've kind of wondered sometimes why he didn't throw a party for his eldest son. Didn't the boy have birthdays? And what's his preoccupation with building up the family business to the detriment of the quality time he should have spent with his boys? When you take responsibility for failing as a dad, there are some things you've got to remember. You can't change the past, but you can ask forgiveness for the past and move on. You don't have to carry destructive guilt with you everywhere you go, and guilt from your past, that'll kill you. Don't you know that? You'll die right now. But you better know the difference between good guilt and bad guilt. You can do what you can to heal relationships in the present. So, as I close, why are dads so important? I'm trying to put a seminar together that's going to say, for one thing, daddies fill young teenagers' emotional tanks. Both boys, both girls. I remember a book I read by an author called Ross Campbell. He says, how to really love your teenager. That book's still in print, amen? You need to write that one down. Go get that one. That's a good book. I read that between the two sets of children me and Emily both had. It helped to change a lot of my perceptions of the importance of fathering. And it made a significant difference in my life. I didn't father my son that lost his life. I was just a placeholder in his life.
His daddy had divorced his mother. And when I came in, I was a semi-celebrity in my hometown. I was a big-time DJ. I went to church on Sunday, but I managed the club at night. How many people know that don't fit? I drove the Sunday school bus on Sunday morning after being out all night long. That don't fit. But it was my job. I make the money to come home, so it's okay if I run the windows, hey, to the wall. That's what I did all night long, amen. I made people dance. I made the party go on. That was my thing, amen. Now, I haven't stopped dancing. I just changed partners. Anybody in here? I remember my father once taking me for a walk in Big Sur State Park. I looked up at my dad and I thought, I was 10 years old. We had just moved to California. First day of spring, 1965. And we went to Big Sur State Park. Now, you got to understand, there were some places we as black people couldn't go in 1965. I got to give you some history. My dad was in the Navy, but we couldn't live in Navy housing because Navy housing was not desegregated yet. So we never lived on the base. We always rented a house in town, amen? Carmel Beach. We could drive on Carmel Beach as black people, but we couldn't get out the car. Oh, yeah. You could drive all around, but you couldn't get out. You'd be arrested. Amen? So listen to me. I got a reason to hate somebody, but I don't. You know why? Because God, the things I read about he hated, they were all in me. And when he changed my life, then he didn't have no reason to hate me no more, so I didn't have no reason to hate nobody else no more. Look, don't let the good taste fool you. I wasn't always as good looking as I am now, amen? My hair was brown, and I had a goatee. I had, you know, all this stuff, and big lamb chops, sideburns. I even danced on Soul Train. Yes, I did. 1974 to 75. I have the distinction of being the only, me and Regina Jackson, young lady I was with, we the only, y'all remember Soul Train? And you remember the clock that used to go around and you had to put the person's name on the board called Scramble Board? Well, I'll send the link over. Y'all can watch this one Sunday so you can really laugh. Didn't know that Don Cornelius stands off to the side and tells you the name of the person, okay? So you really look smart as you're spelling the person's name on that board, right? So they had all these letters on the board. So I saw these, what I thought were M's, but they were actually W's. They both looked the same. So I was trying to spell Minnie Riperton. And then I had M-I-N, and then he said Dionne Warwick. Okay, so we got to flip the letters. So now we're flipping the letters and we're running around, and the clock is going, doo-doo, the music is playing, everybody's dancing, and the clock ran out, y'all. Oh, yeah, by the time we got Dionne Warwick spelled, the clock was past 60. And my friends talked about me all over the country. My friends that was in the service, they saw me on Soul Train in Europe, and they were, man, you can't spell? I blamed it on Regina. I said, she had the E, and we were trying to move that last E into place. But I got my Afro Sheen and my 8-track player. I got a year's supply, hallelujah. And so, you know, that's why my hair is the way it is now. Just a little different color, praise God. But I remember my dad taking me to Big Sur State Park, and we walked through the park and Pfeiffer State Park. Anybody been there in Pfeiffer? Pfeiffer State Park and Big Sur, great place. You got to take your kids. You got to get out of here. Get out of the valley and go over to the coast. Amen. Go hang out on the coast. And go over to Pfeiffer and walk and go down by the waterfall that runs down and walk the trail. My dad took me by the hand, and I looked up at my dad, and I said, he's the most tallest, handsomest guy I've ever seen. My daddy was a sailor. He was a chief petty officer, chief of the motor pool at the Navy Postgraduate School, but we couldn't live in Navy housing. Somebody help me here. But he could fix all the cars. And I said, wow, this guy's, he's a great guy. Look at my dad. And he helped me climb on the rocks, and he kept me from falling in the river, and he did all them wonderful things. And we went on one walk. And then when I had my 10-year-old stepson, I took him to the same park, man. And we camped out overnight, man. It was a great thing. But I only did it once. You think I would have learned something. Chinese have a saying. It says the wise person learns from others' mistakes before they make their own. On a beach in 1995, I spent a lonely night praying with deep grief, confessing my sins as a failure as a father, particularly with my one child that had died 2 years earlier. That was 19 years ago. And the work is still being done to try to heal the hurts in our family and our relationship. I remember a story a missionary told me in the Philippines. He said it was about a boy who left his family farm to get rich in Manila. It didn't happen. But he sent a message home to his folks that even though he let them down, they really needed his help on the farm. And he'd understand it if they didn't want him to come home, amen? And he said, if they wanted him on the way home, he said, put something white on the tree in front of the house, the tree in front of it, put a white ribbon on it. And when I come, put some white underwear, a white string or something, and I'll know that you guys are okay with me and anything they could find to borrow. And of course, you know what they did? They covered the whole house with white sheets, with white paper, with white string, with anything they could. So when he got home, the whole brown house, he couldn't even see the brown house. It was a white house. And how many people know Filipino know how to throw a party? Oh, my God. The lumpia was flowing and everything. They were, and they ate and they partied and they laughed because their son had come home. In conclusion, dads, granddads, dads-to-be, would you stand with me? All the daddies. Would you bow your heads and lift your hands? Dads, lift your hands. Don't be scared. Lift your hands. Come on, lift it to the Father. That's all I want you to do. Father God, thank you today for these fathers. We call them Father, Lord. You told us to call no man Father, but these are images of you, made in your image and after your likeness. So now, Father, let the anointing fall on them. If they haven't been a good dad, Lord, make them over right now. Lord, if they've been a great dad, help them teach some more dads. Help them not just come to the church or sit in the pews, but help them reach out to these young men, this dying generation in the city of Winton, California, that they see them and they have a heart and they have compassion like you did when you said they all. Let them go to them. Let them not have fear, because there's no fear in you, but a spirit of love, power, and assignment. So, Father, pour out your spirit on all these men standing here today at the First Baptist Church of Winton, and they will be soldiers for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we invite you to call on him now and through a simple prayer of faith, give your life to him. If you're not attending a church that honors the Bible as the Word of God, we encourage you to locate and begin attending such a church in the area where you live. The message you have just heard was preached from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. For more information on the ministry of First Baptist Church, Winton, please visit our website at wintonchurch.org.